everybody. It's Nicole Byer here with some hot takes from Wayfair. A cozy corduroy sectional from Wayfair? Yeah, that's a hot take. Go on and add it to your cart and take it. A pink glam nightstand from Wayfair? Scalding hot take. Take it before I do. A mid-century modern cabinet from Wayfair that doubles as a wine bar? Do I have to say it? It's a hot take. Get it at Wayfair.com and enjoy that free shipping too.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
Some secrets are kept in the basement, others in the morgue. Welcome to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring defense attorney and host of the podcast, Defense Diaries, Bob Mata.
The trial of Richard Allen, it is set to begin in Delphi. It's going to be a fascinating one, and one with very few voices, because there's only so many seats in the courtroom, and you can't tweet, and you can't report from there, and you can't have any devices, so our friend Bob Mata is going to be there on the ground with one of these. It's a notepad, as you may remember. This is what we used to write on prior to digital devices. It's like you're going back to 1985, Bob, but you're going to be there on the ground. What are you expecting as we get into this case?
Chaos. I think it's going to be, I think it's going to be absolute chaos. I mean, there's going to be a huge amount of people trying to get into that courthouse, and it is going to be, I'm sad because she's not allowing it to be streamed, because it's going to be a trial for the ages. It's really a true whodunit, and it's going to be hard fought by both sides. And, you know, ultimately we're hoping to end up with the truth at the end of this thing, but it's been such a wild ride leading up to the trial itself that it's hard to know if that's going to happen. You know, I mean, you and I have talked about this many, many, many times.
Yeah.
And it's just been like a pre-trial procedural case unlike any that I've ever seen. And I've been a part of crazy cases leading up to trial that were high publicity, but man, this thing was next level. And, you know, I mean, even now they're like leading up to trial next week, they're filing motions in limine, they're firing them out. And I expect it to be a hell of a trial. You know, I really do.
Let's talk about some of what's been going on here in the days leading up to it. I want to hear about those motions in a second, but I want to talk about Todd Klick and his arrest. Todd Klick, one of the original officers on this case, one of the first ones to talk about the Odinism, to talk about, hey, there might be something going on over here, guys. One of the few to actually do that. And right before the trial, and right before he's supposed to be one of their star witnesses, he's arrested, and he's charged with crimes that have nothing to do with this case, largely paperwork-type crimes, falsifying information in his role as a DCS family case manager. Basically, if you're to read the tea leaves, this seems like they're trying to discredit him right before the trial. So, what is his he's falsifying stuff over there. Why would we believe anything that this man has to say? At least that's exactly the conspiracy angle, but it seems to be more factual than it does conspiracy these.
Yeah, no, I think it appears that he was, in fact, slacking. You know, I mean, this basically boils down to a guy who was longtime cop who had taken a position over at DCS, which, you know, according to people that I've spoken with, is, you know, a pretty decent job. Mm-hmm. It's not like it was a throwaway job, but he just wasn't feeling it. Now, this happens. He took that job after his involvement in the Delphi investigation. So, you know, there was that period of time from 2017 till up until the time that Greg Ferency, who was one of the other officers that was investigating the Odinist angle and these other individuals, was shot and killed in front of a federal building. Mm-hmm. Many have speculated that that could be involved with this case somehow.
Yeah.
Who knows? It's hard to say that it wasn't. It's hard to say that it was. I don't know enough about it, but the timing is interesting here, you know, and really kind of when the report came in that he had failed to actually do interviews that he was claiming that he had done in terms of going out to the house to do interviews where there had been reports that had been lodged against either parents or complaints that were made. And he's got to go out to the house and he's got to, you know, see with his own eyes and talk to the participants and the family members to see what's going on out there. That actually, you know, we have multiple witnesses saying, I've never seen this guy. He never came out here. And same with some phone calls. So those seem to be legitimate. Mm-hmm. Now, in terms of like when this kind of starts to brew up, is it's unusual in the sense that it seems like somebody said, hey, maybe you want to take a look at this guy, because it was about a month after Frank's hit that they started looking into Click. So that's like September of 2022, is it? Or September of 2023, I think.
Yeah.
You know, they start digging into Click, and, you know, it took them, I guess, they would argue, look, that's how long our investigation took, you know? And so they make the arrest, they effectuate the arrest about, you know, 12 days before trial. And again, I mean, the reality is that I don't know if they were going to call Click anyway, mm-hmm. at this point, because she has flame-thrown the third-party culprit aspect, yeah. of this defense. So I don't know what they would have been able to put him on for anyway. But in terms of the perception of the defense team in the public's eye, it's just another bad look for them. They're like, oh, so yeah, here's that cop that you were, you know, writing 136-page memos about. Look at what kind of guy you're dealing with here. You're dealing with the guy who had young children at risk because he wasn't doing his job, mm-hmm. who was lying. You can't trust him. So, I mean, even if he wasn't going to be testifying, the impact that it has on the public in terms of their view of these lawyers that are handling this case, it's just another blight, you know, whether real or not. The perception from the general public, who doesn't know any better in terms of what's going on, in terms of defending that case, from the outside looking in, it makes them look bad.
Yeah.
So, you know, which is always a move. Mm-hmm. It's always a move, you know, for the prosecution in cases like this, you know, to attack on every front, you know, and it's going to be to feed information to the press about the defendant and give information out there so that the media can run with it and look, they want this, you know, whatever their theory of the case is going to be, they want that put out there for public consumption so that people are reaching a decision as to guilt or innocence prior to trial. And, you know, you get a prosecutor on here, they'll deny that they do that all day long, mm-hmm. but, you know, just look at it, you know, if you have any common sense, you know, what's going on with that. And it's no different when they're going after the attorneys in a high profile case,
yeah.
you know, so anything that's going to put them in a light or cast a light on them that makes them less than stellar, mm-hmm. in terms of like who they're relying on for their witnesses and their theory is always going to be helpful to the state. So yeah. whether or not Click was going to testify or not really doesn't matter in terms of how much coverage did this seemingly collateral case that has nothing to do with Delphi in and of itself, how much coverage did that get up in Allen County, Indiana, where they're selecting the jury? Was that on the news, on every news station? Was it in the press? Was it in the paper every day for a week? And did all those potential jurors read about it? Mm-hmm. You know, so I mean, that's really where it's going to impact the trial.
Yeah. Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
All right, true crime addicts, let's cut the crap. You're knee-deep in the gory details of your favorite podcast when suddenly a commercial hits like a bad meal. Seriously? You deserve better. Upgrade to True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, where you can binge without those annoying ads. Plus, get extended interviews that go deeper into the darkness and early access to episodes so you can be the first to know. It's like trading up from fast food to fine dining, but with more blood. So, go ahead, Search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe and feast on the good stuff.